the lid's off the cookie jar.
Hello, I'm Christine Bruce, broadcasting on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I love my downtown. Lots of friendly shopkeepers with items I need and want, where I feel my presence is noticed and appreciated. It feels like a cooperative venture. In our competitive, capitalist world, you don't see that very often. And it's in my best interest to support these businesses. Two such businesses have taken the notion of cooperative to a whole new level. The BV Brewery has invited Stellar J Coffee Cart to open up under its roof. The one offers coffee during the early hours, while the other provides a variety of locally brewed beers later in the day. Coffee and beer, two things I like. In my final year of high school, my English teacher introduced me to the poet T.S. Eliot. The poem that stood out for me was The Hollow Men. A hollow man is defined as someone who is spiritually and morally empty, whose life is meaningless. A prevalent theme in this poem is the struggle to maintain hope. You may recognize the final stanza. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. Where am I going with this, you wonder? Ever since COVID, a business can go under with a whimper, where you hardly notice it's gone. So when business and community members band together in a symbiotic relationship, it makes me giddy. This fall, Dave Harris of the BV Brewery and Shannon West, owner of Stellar J Coffee Cart, have ensured that they won't be going under at all. We all win. Dave and Shannon, can I just say how delighted I am to watch this cooperative venture? It's one thing to offer things like stout and macchiatos, but it's another thing entirely to make me giddy every time I enter your shop. Every last time I come in here, like, this is so great. Because it's cooperative.
It's really awesome that we can kind of partake and help each other out and just have a business that benefits each other. Shannon brings something to the table and we do too.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I should pause. This is going to be bad. Just so the listeners know, we're closed Monday, Tuesdays, but we still get a lot of people coming by. And we have to break their hearts every week to let them know we're currently not operating.
Well, it's a short-term break your heart because you need a day off too, and I don't want you to get sick and have to close.
Yes, it is unfortunate.
You have to think long-term.
Definitely. And we're working on it right now, but it's nice to see the enthusiasm of everyone in the town.
Totally. I mean, I've invited people here for business meetings. I never do that, but I've done it 3 times now.
Oh, wow.
And every time they say to me, you know, I went to Stellar J, it's a market, but I've never been to the shop. Wow, this is terrific.
I find it's a really good spot for that. And like whether you're sitting down with colleagues or even friends, it just seems like a nice meeting spot that's comfortable for everyone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's nice to see.
Dave, I happened to come in one day. Now, you'll remember this. When Shannon was closed, just like today, I walked in on a Tuesday, right? Just like everybody's doing. And you shared how this partnership got started. It's such a perfect example of thinking outside the box.
Yeah. I saw Shannon was doing really well at the markets and that she had, you know, just a cart. You know, when people get a little bit passionate about businesses in town, they want to see them continue or they want more access to them. So I just mentioned to Shannon how she might feel about, you know, bringing her cart indoors for the winter or what her plans were. Since she's small and we have a small space, I mean, I didn't have a whole lot to offer, but I had a space that was roughly the size of her cart that I thought could work. And so she came in, take a look and made it happen.
Ripped it apart.
Yeah.
Caused some problems.
Reorganized my life. Yeah.
They'll never forgive me for the printer, but you know, we got past it.
Yeah, it was funny. Just the, you know, hooking up the Wi-Fi, all these technologies, you think that you know, make your life simple, right? And then to get Wi-Fi for the customer base in the coffee shops, it's more of a, you know, people want to come here and work and hook up to a guest Wi-Fi, right? So we had to change that over. And then changing absolutely everything that was connected to the Wi-Fi after that was such a pain. It was,
really?
Oh, yeah. Reconnecting the printer to it and figuring out how to, you know, change the router on that. And then all of our security cameras. And it's supposed to be easy and pick up on Wi-Fi signals and just click and connect. But it was awful. So...
Oops.
All these things you have no idea.
Oh, yeah. It took about, you know, I'd say probably about a week of...
Some hardship.
Yeah, picking back and forth and figuring things out. And It was a pain, but
probably worth it. Sorted.
Yeah.
Well, I will think of that every time I come in here now. I pull up my phone and, you know, very simply check my email.
That's
right?
So funny, like,
you've made that so easy for me, but all the work that you put in on my behalf. Wow. Yeah.
It was appreciated, though.
Yeah, people like it at the coffee shop for sure. I mean, it was never a huge, huge thing at the brewery. You know, the people would come in at 2 or noon kind of thing and play on their laptops a little bit. But yeah, mostly the coffee shop people really like coming in here and having a place to work and do some emails or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think since COVID, it's become a big thing because we were stuck in our homes for so long that you really want to get out and be with people. Even if you never talk to anybody that you're sitting near, you're with other people.
Yeah.
I find this place is pretty social, though.
Like, it is.
The people that work on their computer, you often need headphones because they often run into someone they know and have too good of a time. And then they have to like, okay, I actually have to work. So it's cute to see. It can be a space that if you need a distraction, could be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about here is it just when you go to another place, a lot of people plan on meeting somebody or they make an arrangement on meeting somebody, but so many people come here and they know that they're going to run into somebody they know when they're here. And I love that nobody really has to plan to come here. Just come here and you'll meet friends and see friends.
It's the spot.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting because one of the comments that we got for the Story Walk project was, it was a mother and it was COVID time and she was stressed and she said, I love this project because there's no timeline on it. I don't have to register. I can come anytime I want. I can do part of the story, all the story. I can do it 3 times if I want. There are no rules.
Yeah.
And we've tripped over something and you're just telling me exactly the same thing. There aren't, we don't have expectations. We just come here knowing that it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And let's come on a Monday or Tuesday. Then I get greatly disappointed.
Just planning. Everything's so planned. Everything's, you know, especially in Smithers where there's such a huge volunteer community and, you know, they're all volunteering a lot, you know, and there's volunteering for all the sports and all the activities and all the everything. And it's really a strain. So when you could just pop in somewhere and get some socializing, some casual socializing in, that's such a strength and such a wonderful thing. So
that's fabulous. Shannon, you and I met at the farmer's market this summer, which is one of my favorite places to go and socialize. I look forward to it all week long. I just can't wait on Saturday morning to get over there. Now, your coffee cart became a regular fixture for a lot of us and a very popular one. Will you tell me about that? I mean, you must have been just as surprised as everybody else.
Yeah, it definitely kind of grew a lot faster than I was expecting. I was very new to Smithers and I remember going to my very first farmer's market with a cup in hand, excited to get a coffee and shop around, and I noticed there was no coffee, and that was a shame. So I figured that I could probably do it myself. The goal wasn't to, you know, create a new job or anything. I just wanted to be a part of the community, get to know people, get to know a lot of the farmers, and just have, like, a healthy Saturday outing that I could look forward to each week. And, like, our very first day there, we got put in the newspaper that week, and I didn't even know who took the photo or who put it in, but like people were just so excited and the vendors like really, really cared if we were there or not. And it was really nice, you know, and we started like doing trades. We traded some coffee for some veggies or flowers and all these wonderful things. And I started noticing my house was full of produce from people I knew and cared about. You know, making these meals and they're from 7 different farmers. Whether it's meat or veggies or microgreens. And it just, I've never been connected to food in that way.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. And it became addictive and just something I really wanted to be a part of. I absolutely loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, my house is still, like, I fill my freezers with local meat. And I have connected with an egg farmer. Once a week we get together and we, you know, do a little exchange of some sort, and there's lots of vegetables still around that you can find from people. And the fruit, you can forage your own fruit up here, you know.
Yeah.
You can feed yourself almost 100% on local food up here.
And that's something I've never had before, never really witnessed, and like people are super excited about here, and it's just wonderful. It's like a type of community that I've never imagined could happen. I came from a very big city, and that is just not a thing.
So yeah.
It's wonderful here. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, it's the difference. I mean, when I lived in Toronto, I found people friendly, but people kept saying to me, no, I think it's you.
That's probably true.
People in Toronto are indifferent.
Yes.
They're not hostile or anything, but they're indifferent. And I moved here and everybody's friendly like me. And I thought, wow, I found my people.
That's exactly how I felt too. Yeah. And I think it's just like different. There's just so many people and so many things going on and like overstimulation versus here, you know, there's beautiful views and every member of the community counts, you know, like we really care when someone leaves, whether it's a friend or a relative, it's like they matter. They have a role to play here. And that feeling of need and notice, you know, just the attention awareness of you being there is really wonderful. I find it difficult to be sad here.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people that care, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You can have a bad day, but then you come for a coffee here and
yeah, well, like, you know, if I'm closed and people know it's because I'm not feeling so great, I have a lot of people reaching out to make sure I'm okay. And like, they know I'm probably like caught a cold or something. And that's just so kind.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, Meg was offering me like healthy soup and different breads and all those people were doing all those really sweet things. So yeah, the love is really there.
That's neat. I believe the term for what happened with your start at the market, turning into a full-time business, is an incubator business. Community building is one of my passions, so while I was disappointed to lose you for the last couple of markets this fall, I was thrilled to see you become a permanent fixture downtown.
Yeah, I definitely did not see that coming. Dave reaching out was like the best thing ever. I was tempted to actually go to him before he came to me about this idea, but I didn't think anyone would really want to take a chance in me. I was getting to a low point thinking, oh, the market's going to be over, you know, this will have to wait till next year. And then Dave offered, you know, we sat down and we talked about me opening up here and it was so perfect. Like the atmosphere is so cozy. Everybody wants somewhere like this to hang out in the daytime. And I get to now drink coffee as a living. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you, the day that I tripped over you and we had that first conversation, I had it in my head that you, as the business person, thought, oh, I need to, you know, grow my business somehow. Maybe I'll see if there's a business that will take me in. And for you to say, no, I saw Shannon's situation and wanted to invite her in. I'm like, really? This is so Smithers. You never see that anywhere else.
Yeah. It was very, very, very generous. I guess the Toronto in me was, like, scared. I was like, why? Why are you being nice to me? And I realized, just like as you said, it was like a symbiotic relationship and being able to see myself grow and the business grow in ways I never thought it would, but also get to see maybe that can benefit the brewery too. It's it's really lovely. I love collaborations, you know, and I think that's how towns do well. You know, successful places, they work together. They don't fight. Yeah.
Yeah, totally in agreement.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of polarized opinions in this town.
Yeah.
But people still have a habit, not always, but they have a habit of setting that aside when they need to.
Yep.
And we cooperate.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a really great venture this week start up where there's a bunch of people who have decided they're going to start making meals for the people in the encampment.
Oh, nice.
They're just going to make them in somebody's kitchen until we can find a spot, and then they're going to carry them over and just distribute them.
That's cool. Wonderful.
I'm like, oh,
that's
I love this town.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's it. And like, I think that's what Smithers is about. Is about community and supporting each other. And you know, I've never seen it before. And whether it's supporting people that are like, you know, unfortunate or figuring out their situation, or even like what I saw with me, like people just wanted to support the kind of the little guy, you know. And
we want everyone to succeed.
Yeah, and they care. You know, you're a real person. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of for me. It just this all sort of came to light in COVID times when I was in here working and people were reaching out to me of, you know, Dave, would you mind if I just came in and sat in the brewery during the daytime and did my work, you know, because I'm working from home now and I don't get to see anybody. This would help me feel, even just watching people walk by the windows would be, you know, some sort of
engagement
of, socializing, right? So it just made me realize that we have this space that is totally unused except for Josh and I, our brewer, during the daytime. And you know, if somebody ever reached out to me when I was starting my business and gave me an opportunity like that, just a helping hand like that, it would be such a great thing. So I figured, you know, the brewery it doesn't need anything extra. It's doing really well on its own. It's paying all the bills, but it's just a shell during the daytime. So it's awesome to be able to, you know, have Shannon start a business from that, and then hopefully we can grow from there, you know, together as a symbiotic relationship, and just help each other out and make us more of a community fixture for all day.
And what's great is you're not just like helping me, like you're also helping the other people I work with too, like Bethany, who does her Wild West Herb teas.
Yep.
She now can distribute her teas, and she is so excited. That was always her dream, was to be a tea supplier, and especially organic and local tea that's super fresh. You know, that's really big for her. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we sell Little Lamb lavender lattes, so that's like using Little Lamb's lavender syrup that she makes for me, or even Rustica gets to sell her treats here. So it's like that one act of kindness that you created, Dave, is already rippling through to other small businesses. And, you know, I think that should be something people should really appreciate and see, and maybe follow, you know, if other places want to do that too. Like, it's really magical.
I would love to see this ripple to other businesses.
Yeah.
I would love it. You saw potential in this room. And I just think that's such a stark reminder of how we have to be more aware of what's going on around us.
Yeah.
You know, we get sort of stuck inside ourselves and we forget that there's other stuff around us. That you saw this potential is pretty wonderful. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, you know, I'd never really actually met Shannon before.
We talked about it.
Yeah, we're just kind of Instagram friends and talking, and I heard good things about her cart, and you know, I know she came here occasionally, but just when we met up, we really had very similar values, and we're both from Ontario and moved to Smithers for the lifestyle and, you know, to get away from that big city and to focus on those core values of, you know, helping people out and supporting local businesses and making sure, you know, and the brewery does that. You know, with our grain, our spent grain, we give it to local farmers, and those local farmers mm-hmm. feed their cattle or pigs or chickens with it. And, you know, and those local farmers help us out and bring us flowers or eggs or, you know, and it's just a nice, like, our byproduct is something that's beneficial to the local community. And then, you know, that it's just a nice, really nice circle that everybody kind of helps out and benefits from. And then, you know, Shannon's been super keen on, supporting locals and local businesses and the Mugshare program. And, you know, we showcase local artisans as well. Like, I've got blacksmith hooks, you know, our hooks for our mugs are made by a local blacksmith, and our mugs, we feature a different potter every year. And we really try to just, you know, draw attention to local artists and businesses that wouldn't get, you know, a platform like a brewery to advertise in, right? And it's beneficial for hopefully everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, Shannon just kind of had that same core value, and you know, we met and really, really bonded on that aspect, I think. And when you have those key elements in agreement, you know, those key things, agree on those key points and those key focuses for businesses, then I think it's going to be prosperous for all of you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Win-win.
Yeah.
Totally. Shannon, we mentioned your cart a couple of times. I'd like to hear about the design of it. Every time I cycle past your yard and I saw it in your backyard, I start to giggle because I didn't expect to see it in somebody's yard, right? You just expect to see it at the market, but you expect to see it at the market.
That's where it lives. It's its home. It's a rest.
So can you describe the cart's design and function for our listeners?
Well, the cart's actually really cute. It was built by two separate grandpas, smithereen grandpas.
It just gets better and better.
So at first, there was the utility cart, and I got that from a guy off of Marketplace, but he had this really cool story. It was grandpa who built planes. Like, he was a welder, and he created all these things. He also happened to build that utility cart, and it was, you know, insurable and passed all the tests and everything. And it was really sweet, so I'm like hauling around this little utility cart made by a grandpa, and I met Doug. Doug is a local carpenter who is retired. And I'm not sure if he's grandpa status yet, but he's definitely there in age. And he was able to build the outside for me. He actually built it around my height so it'd fit me. So two of my friends cannot fit in the cart. And that was really sweet to have it made by him, and knowing that, like, yeah, it wasn't just something I bought off someone randomly. You know, it was designed specifically for its purpose. And then it got even better when we involved Sarah Belford, a local artist here who's extremely talented. She was actually doing her debut at the local art gallery. And she managed to have some time to paint the outside of it for me with beautiful mountains and the Stellar Jay. And all the way around it, and people just absolutely loved it. It was very, very, very beautiful. We had it out only for a couple of weeks before we moved in here, but we'll definitely be bringing it back out again because it's. I think it makes everyone really happy when
yeah,
they see it.
It does.
I know. I would hug it every day for quite a while when I first had it there. It's something that I don't know. It brings joy. That's art, you know.
Yeah,
and that's also
yeah,
wonderful.
Totally.
Something could just be. It's a bit of paint, but it's something that makes people super excited and goes such a long way.
Yeah,
you know, we had that artist who was coming through. She was on the Home Roots tour. And she was saying to me and Dave about how all these towns around us were kind of dab. And, you know, you get to Smithers and there's just this art scene. You're seeing murals. You're seeing all the stuff around town. And it's so exciting and so beautiful. And she's like, why? Why is it here and not elsewhere? And I don't know the answer to that, but it is true. Like, this town is full of it. And it's really great.
Yeah, we're very lucky with our artists in town. You know, we try to feature artists on our wall in the brewery, and Sarah did our door as well, and you know, our murals in the alleyway are all local artists, and just with the musicians and the artists and everything. I know the Chamber of Commerce has had a focus of showcasing Smithers as kind of the art community of the north, and you know, certainly having people like Alex Cuba live here and you know, showcasing Smithers as the Latin capital of Canada, as he says, is a fantastic thing. And it puts us on the map for a lot of, you know, like a lot of Home Roots artists, which are artists from all over Canada and the United States that are very high caliber artists, come here and they know of Smithers for the music scene.
Yeah.
And that's
Midsummer Music Festival.
That's such
a
huge
thing.
Yep. Yeah. It's such a huge thing. So the fact that it swings so far, you know, we're only a town of 5,000, but, you know, it swings so far above its weight for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Yeah. So, Shannon, having your business indoors has to be a lot easier for you than having to drag the cart to the market every week.
Definitely.
So this will sound like an obvious question, but how does the indoor business differ from your portable outdoor cart at the market?
Well, hard part is, I have to share a space, obviously. Well, I'm gifted to have this space. So, but there can be some tangoing through the back when I'm getting past the brewer. Because, you know, he's doing some really cool stuff back there with some big machinery. And I'm trying to, sneak past with some dishes. And as much as I don't want to be annoying, I have to get back there. And so that would probably be the only hard part, but really everything's pretty easy. I still, don't get me wrong, I still want to do the farmer's market and stuff in the summer, but it is quite a lot of muscle. I got pretty strong hauling all the mugs and the water and the milk and everything for, you know, you got an hour to set up and an hour to take down every single Saturday. So yeah, it's definitely much nicer that things are already in their place every single day. You know, I don't have to physically move an espresso machine.
With anything, just growing pains. And one thing that I really liked about Shannon is just she, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they say, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this to make it work. And Shannon was more like, you know, a real entrepreneurial spirit was just like, yeah, I can make that work. Yeah, I can make that work. And it's just like, these are, you know, I try to let her know these are going to be the obstacles that we have to work around. Can you make it work? And she's like, yep, no problem. You know, here's your little tiny space. Can you make it work? Right?
Bigger than my cart. So I was like, oh, that's great. Yeah.
We have lines back there and hoses going across the floors for washing and cleaning all the equipment and everything all the time. And, you know, so can you carry a tray of cups back there, of mugs back there? Yeah, we can make that work.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yeah, and
it's
a lot
practice.
Of people just see those challenges and they're just like, nope, I need more, or nope, I need this to set it up, or, you know, and it's just the fact that Shannon was just willing to rise to that, you know, to those challenges and make it happen.
Aww,
you know, speaks volumes to it, so.
Well, yeah. I think that was a big part of it, you know, talking to a lot of my friends and family, no one ever really believed that this would work out. They would be like, how are you going to get water? Wait, how are you going to, do this? And how are you going to get, you know, your permits? All these things, it seemed so impossible to everybody. And I was just like, you know, you just deal with one thing at a time. You figure it out, you know. You don't just give up as soon as it gets hard. You look at different ways, you know. And I think slowly people started to see that. They're like, oh, wow, you can make a coffee cart out of a 6x4 space. Like, oh, you can, you know, you can set up a water pressure system with, you know, little pumps and things like this and a pitcher rinser. And it's actually quite clean and easy. It's, You know, I don't know if it's because I used to be a van lifer and I really learned how to live in a small space and make every little inch count. But I think we could do things a lot easier and smaller than we have to. We don't have to make these massive, expensive things to start a small business.
Well, I think there's also a mindset that you're touching on there. I was listening to the CBC last night. Astra Taylor was talking about being an advocate, and somebody said, you know, how do you keep going?
Yeah.
And she said, well, you don't give up if you get one challenge. You just, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
You just, hey, look, what do you have? What's available? Okay, how can I make this work? And then, you know, if your instinct is to go and buy something new all the time, well, yeah, you're going to be out of a lot of money. But, you know, there's tons of resources available that aren't even, like, negative to use. It's quite great if you're using things that are secondhand. You know, you're not buying something that has to be manufactured and shipped. It's already here and someone might throw it out. I found a lot of my business was based off of trying to reuse, like reuse cups from New to You, reuse an espresso machine from a refurbished place, reuse almost everything again, the plates, the spoons. You know, I don't see why we have to create so much and waste so much. There's already so many things. Even here in this town, there's only one little thrift store, but it was enough to supply me with everything I need.
And that was charming. There was something whimsical about going over and seeing all these mismatched cups. Which one do I want today?
Yeah,
yeah, it's fun. And it's fun, you know. And people bring me and donate cups, and or they bring their own mug, and I get to see what kind of cups they have. And I'm like, it's so like less boring. I was like, yeah. I could go and buy something off Amazon or IKEA, you know. And I was like, there's just no love in it, you know. Versus these mugs were loved and cared about enough to be donated. And some people are like, oh my God, that's the cup I donated. Or I've had people try to buy them off me for quite a bit of money, you know, and it's really interesting. The value is different all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mother, I don't want to take my medicine.
Take these pills. I'm sick of being okay against my will. I'm losing it.
Different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
If top quality, locally sourced food is important to you, then Smithers is the place to be. In our town, there are many options for finding healthy, local food. Looking for a coffee shop? How about Bugwood Coffee, where friends gather for locally roasted coffee and baked goods at 1206 Main Street? Or Mountain Eagle Books, a used bookstore and cappuccino bar. Mountain Eagle on 3rd Avenue is a great place to lose yourself in a book and a coffee. Want to make it yourself? Visit Nature's Pantry on 1st Avenue, a health food store with an excellent selection of natural foods. And no town is complete without a farmer's market. The BV Farmer's Market offers fresh local produce and meats, craft beers and baked goods, artisan and craft wares, all made, baked, or grown locally. While the market is now closed for the winter, many of the vendors and farmers continue to offer products and services around town. Thank you to our sponsors, Bugwood Coffee, Mountain Eagle Books, Nature's Pantry, and the BV Farmer's Market. Food for body and soul, just like the cookie jar. You've got your hand in the cookie jar on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and that's a very good thing. I'm your host, Christine Bruce. Before the break, I was hanging out with Shannon West of Stellar J Coffee Cart and Dave Harris of the Bulkley Valley Brewery, who explained how they decided to share a business space in downtown Smithers and become one of the best cooperative ventures I've ever witnessed. Up next, I'm going to ask Dave and Shannon to talk ethical business practices, which also encourage strong community building. Dave, I want to talk about your winter menus. There's something wonderful about walking into a brewery and seeing what you have to offer, because there are certain things that I always, ooh, stout, you know. So what have you got on tap?
Currently, we've got our dark pilsner, so we're really experimenting in the, you know, beers are so seasonal, where you want the light, easy drinking beers in the summertime, you know, where you can drink more of them, essentially, so lower alcohol content. And you know, beers in the wintertime are more, you know, cozier beers. So you want that something that warms you up and you can settle into your seat with and just drink it slowly. It's not about, you know, getting it back as fast as possible, or you don't drink as, I don't want to say absent-mindedly, but just kind of like in the summertime, it goes up and down a lot easier. I don't know how to explain it, but summertime, you just take sips a lot more. And wintertime is not necessarily about that. It's taking that sip and it's enjoying all the different flavors in the full-bodied beer, and then, you know, letting it resonate and then having a conversation and then taking another sip. So people sit around a lot longer and sip on the darker beers, which is great. And then we just try to focus on the happy Christmas vibes in the wintertime and just coziness. Because in the north, it can be dark and cold and not super welcoming for a lot of people. So we want to make sure that this space is that, you know, with our fireplace, and, you know, we want to keep the Christmas lights or the lights up all winter long and make sure that they have that nice cozy beer to settle into. And obviously coffee helps out with that, you know, so it's a fun thing just to make everybody feel warm and welcome here. So
the space is nice too, because there's lots to look at and it changes up. Oh, there's different art, there's different mugs. You know what drew me here was the games nights.
Yeah.
That's wonderful that there's stuff like that, that you can just come and spend an hour having a beer.
Yeah.
Having a friend show up, just have a little conversation.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I mean, you know what, before COVID threw a wrench in everything, but before COVID, we were doing the games nights and lots of trivia nights, and we have, you know, some arcade systems in here so people can play video games. And I remember, like, you know, one time just slightly before Christmas, before the rush of the Christmas holidays, and students came back home and to visit family, it was just like a nice casual, I think, Wednesday night in here, probably only around 12 people, and one person was playing Dr. Mario on the TV and had the volume turned way up, so you had that kind of, you know, that intense gaming music and the celebration noises and all that. Everybody in the brewery was so focused on that person playing the game. It was so funny. It was just like, you know, and we were kind of like the living room you don't have, right? So we've got all the toys and the games and all the fun stuff that you don't have at your own house, and you know you're going to run into friends to play with here, right? And before COVID, we were really trying to cultivate that attitude and make sure that people don't feel weird asking a stranger or somebody at a table to play a game with them or something. And it's really great to kind of see that coming back. And, you know, we've hosted a trivia night already. We've got another one coming up. We're getting into game nights again. And yeah, so it's
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's super fun.
I met Josh, actually. The brewer. Yeah. I was waiting for some friends here, and I was alone at the bar, sitting here. And, you know, every time I come to this bar, I make friends. And Josh sat down beside me and was just like, hey, you're new. Like, hi, nice to meet you. And, you know, we got a board game going, some Connect Four. And like, an hour later, we're still playing Connect Four. And it was really sweet. And I think that is something people really admire, because it doesn't really happen to many places where you can go in and leave with a bunch of friends. Mm-hmm. You usually got to go with them, yeah. You know? So that was really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm definitely most proud and protective of here, you know, is making sure that that safe environment and where everybody feels comfortable talking to anybody, you know, at any table and making new friends, and that's encouraged. And it's not everyone's cup of tea, for sure, but it's something that I really love. I love when people leave here and they're like, oh, I made so many new friends today, or, you know, on Smithers, I'm moving to Smithers, and people will suggest, you know, coming to, you know, Bulky Valley Brewery on open mic night to make friends. You go to mic night and you'll make 10 friends and you're set for Smithers, right?
So I was telling my daughter in Ontario about this development, and her comment was to wonder if you, Dave, might offer a coffee beer of some sort.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, absolutely. We did it once upon a time with a company out of Terrace. They were really, White Goat Coffee, and they're really popular, cool couple who kind of traveled the world and learned how to roast coffee while traveling the world. Cool. And moved back to Canada and just couldn't find coffee that they could
drink.
What they learned to make in like Ethiopia and stuff like that. So they started doing it themselves. So we carried their stuff, White Goat Coffee, and now it's called Ascent Coffee Roasters, and we did a beer with them, and it was pretty awesome. It's just figuring out that balance, because our clientele typically comes at nighttime, you know, kind of after 8 o'clock, and having a beer with caffeine in it, we learned very quickly.
Decaf coffee, though.
A decaf coffee, you know.
Mercedes is a good one.
Yeah, so figuring out how to balance that, because some people absolutely love them, but when we had it on tap, and we weren't really into cans yet, that was more of a COVID thing that we got into cans. So having it on tap here, people would drink it at 8 o'clock, and then they'd be up all night.
Yeah.
So we had that comment a lot.
That's not good for business.
No, totally. Beer's one of those things where you don't even realize you're getting that caffeine, right? So three beers later and you're super caffeinated and you're not going to sleep that night. So yeah, it's something we definitely want to try. I mean, I would love to have a beer label that has Stellar J logo on it with the brewery logo, right? It would just be
so neat.
Yeah. We're working on it.
Yeah. So
it's, now we're working on it.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, it's always something that we'd love to do. And you know, even just Shannon making like the espresso martinis, you know, for special nights here has been, you know, pretty, it's a nice draw, and it brings people in. You know, it's a special thing that we don't do all the time. So, you know, people want to come and get them when it's offered, which is really cool.
That's fun.
So, yeah.
I love my town. Okay, Shannon, tell us about your menu, and don't make me salivate too much here.
Okay. So I'm drinking coffee right in front of you, I'm a monster. But, most importantly, we get our coffee from Mercedes Beans. They're a local, indigenous-owned and operated roastery out of New Hazleton. And they are super, super tasty. We use one of their dark roast beans. It's a French Peruvian bean. And it's really good with any latte, any Americano. And so that's how we started off. I was just doing Americanos and teas and hot chocolates, but as I grew and was able to get a proper commercial espresso machine, we now were able to do lattes. And then as I got bored, I started creating more syrups, and now we have everything you can think of, you know, from caramel macchiatos, your favorite, to chai matcha lattes, and even like I got a caffeine-free turmeric saffron latte. It is really good. And so, well, that one's actually really good for you too. And yeah, like we're doing Christmas specials too. Like, you know, we got peppermint mocha, candy cane lattes, where I actually go in the back and I smash some candy canes and then I put it on top. And it's really fun. I don't know. We got a lot of creative different drinks coming out. It changes kind of seasonally as well. You know, we had like our pumpkin spice latte going for a while. People really liked that one. And now I'm looking at making like a gingerbread latte as well.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's just fun. I don't know. If it's ever slow, I just start like kind of mixing and seeing what else I can make. I think at some point I got to slow down so my new staff can keep up. People seem to like it quite a bit. So, and you know, we're always willing to do anything that people bring to us as well. If they want something, I have no problem in trying to figure it out and make something nice for them. Just fun.
I love that both of you have businesses where it's not the same thing every time.
Yeah.
I come in and it's like, oh, now what will I choose today?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, because like both I love testing out the different beers, you know, and I'm a big beer fan and I like all the different types, and it's really nice to have something that switches up. You know, I find some places that can kind of get stale a little bit.
Well, my daughter got me into flights. Do you offer flights?
Yep.
Yeah. I had no idea. I didn't know what this thing was. And she put one in front of me and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But that's the best way to experiment with, you know, what have we got here?
Yeah. So many people are just used to, especially in the North, Wheelhouse is the oldest one in the North, 10 years old now, celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. And they're, you know, we're developing the Northern craft brew scene. You know, like people up here didn't even really know what IPAs were, or, you know, didn't deviate too much to stouts or very much from the Molson Canadian kind of thing. And the amount of people who would come in here for our first 2 years of business and be like, I'll take a Molson. No.
This is a brewery.
We make our own. So, you know, it's just educating people. And, you know, sometimes you've got that favorite and the one that, you know, the meat and potatoes beers, and sometimes you run out of those and people have to try something else because they still want to be here and socialize and drink and see their friends. And so their taste buds develop and they get used to drinking something else. And, you know, one of the most interesting things I've had personally was a lot of ladies in the summertime would drink our stout. And stout is not a huge seller in the summertime just because it's darker and it's heavier and you can't, you know, take those multiple sips as quickly like a light beer. But they said that they would pour it over ice and drink it kind of like an iced coffee.
Oh, that sounds good.
Right? Yeah. And that was my reaction. It was like, that's genius. And to have people, you know, suggest that kind of thing, and just, it's awesome. You know, having all these different flavors and all these different suggestions and all these people learning together and experimenting together is really cool.
Do you want to know what I do with stout when I've had enough of it to drink?
Absolutely.
I make Welsh rabbit with it.
Oh, no way.
Oh, my God. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, I've been trying to actually start a cookbook for the brewery. It's because so many people would send me Instagram photos of like a Black Forest cake with the stout, or, you know, a chili made with our Pilsner or stuff. And it's just, that's such a cool idea, and how fun, because we have so many creative people in the Valley, to have a cookbook of just, you know, stuff made with beer. Beer's a really good cooking thing. It's super good.
Yeah. It'd be cool to get like a local cook to make it all up, but, you know, maybe get a local photographer, and then it could be a bunch of different people involved.
I want to be your technical writer to put the book together.
Okay, it's done. It's
happening. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'll be the official tester.
Yes, we need one of those.
Yeah, it's so fun to be able to do that kind of stuff, and people want to be involved in those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely, we do.
It's a fun thing to do, and
we all want ownership of something like this.
Yeah. Oh, that has to be a thing. That'd be so cool.
There's something wonderful about. Look at this. Look at us.
Yeah.
Another symbiotic relationship in the Valley, just sort of spontaneously coming up.
Well, totally, and I think that's what, like, another part that we really get along with Dave and I is that we both are people that are kind of idea people.
Yeah.
We think we're always kind of brainstorming, and it's really fun to be with someone who's on the same, you know, page, who wants to try new things.
Yeah.
And you can grow together that way. It's difficult when you're with people who are like, no, we'll stick to the same. We've never done it that way.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's Ontario. I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I love Ontario, but I find that frustrating.
It's super frustrating. I mean, that was what led me to wanting to run my own business, you know, because I had a lot of ideas that I didn't feel were getting heard or implemented, and I thought they could work. And nobody would ever say why they couldn't work. They just would say no.
Yeah.
You know, and I needed it proven to me that it wouldn't work. So, you know, my own business, I can prove to myself that they will or won't, right? And then I'm the only one who kind of, you know, suffers those consequences.
But that's the kind of risk-taking that I think is really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a bungee jumper or anything, but I love experimenting with things. Let's just see what happens when you do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it works or it doesn't, I mean, you know, either way, you're going to learn from it. And like, if you tell them, hey, this is something new and I'm not sure, like, give it a try. And if you don't like it, we'll do something else. People are usually like, oh yeah, I want to be part of this process. Like it's just entertaining and it's fun.
Yeah.
And then they kind of feel like, oh, well, like, you know, I got to be part of this too. I helped make this. Like there's a lot of people involved in my matcha chai. Someone brought that to me and now everyone's so pumped about it. And the chick who brought it to me is just like, so proud. And I'm like, it's so cool. And I was like, oh, you know, it's just fun to see where that could go. And yeah. It's like, why are we so scared to take chances? If you're only caring about profit, fine, stick to what you want. But, you know, yeah. We should have a little fun too. You know, what's living for if you're not doing that?
Yeah. Was it A.S. Byatt, I think her name was? She had this quote that I wrote down because it was so cool. It was something about, why are you doing it if it isn't fun?
Yeah. That's it. I'm like, and if you're like, as a business owner, you have all this like power to do that. And it's like, okay, well, what am I going to let drive my life and my, you know, and my vision? Is it going to be out of fear or is it going to be out of creativity?
Yeah.
And I choose creativity. Yeah. But, you know, Dave makes it a very safe space for me to try and do that. I'm sure if I was trying to rent out all on my own, I would be a bit more afraid.
Yeah.
So it's a creative lab in here.
So expensive to have your own place.
Yeah.
To have.
It wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen for me. But here I feel like it's like a fun little test tube and I can figure what I want to do.
One of the smartest things you two did was hold a grand opening for Stellar Jake.
Oh, that was fun.
Everything that you have just said, that's the first thing I'm thinking of. Yo, that grand opening day. Yeah. Like this place, I came down thinking, oh, well, isn't this nice? I better go and support her.
Yeah.
The place was packed. And I'm like, okay, doesn't need my 10 cents.
I had a few friends come by, like, okay, we're going to support Shannon. And they like drove past. I'm like, nope, she's good. And we had a line out the door the whole day. And, you know, it was super fun. Everyone was in such a good mood. And, you know, we had like apple fritters there. And we had all these different musicians. I think we had 8 different bands play. And it was so fun for me because I could actually work but also be part of it and like listen to it all, and everyone was just so pumped, and you know, it was really lovely.
Yeah, those are those really feel good moments as a business owner. You know, you do go through your roller coaster of emotions constantly. You know, and when you have things like that happening, it's really nice.
Been the day for you, Dave, where you thought, okay, this is the make or break moment. Like, if people hate this idea, it'll be obvious.
I mean, it was great to see support, but I honestly had no expectations of, you know, what Shannon was going to be doing or, you know, how quickly things would pick up or not. You know, like I just thought it would be a great place for her to try. And winter time, you know, by the end of winter, she'd decide whether it was something. Because, I mean, new businesses typically are hard. We had certain advantages here with like a built-in customer base from the market and from the brewery, you know, combining. Yep. And that definitely is a good boost to rather than just starting from ground zero. But yeah, just I didn't have any real expectations. And as long as Shannon wanted to continue to do it, I was totally fine.
You're the perfect business partner.
It really is.
Yeah, there's immeasurable benefits to the brewery, right? And that's, I don't have any expectations as long as Shannon is doing her thing and having fun doing it, and we align on our moral beliefs.
And if I don't burn the place down.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and certainly it's been fun and, you know, a learning thing. And Shannon checks me at certain moments because it's just I have my thought tendencies and things that I don't actually care about and I won't put time towards. And Shannon brings in flowers and beautiful things that really make the place nice, right? Yeah. And it's just, that's something where I don't know if I ever would have thought of that, right? It's not a huge thing.
It is nice, though. I have to say, nice, I've noticed little, that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've plants had, and stuff.
You know,
yeah.
And we've had, and even just, you know, Shannon had a frank conversation with me about, you know, women's advocacy and making it a safe place and having, you know, her donation box for Society of Domestic Peace. And having the consent stickers posted in our bathrooms and stuff like that. I just wouldn't think of that. Yeah. You know, it's not, unfortunately, I don't live in that world where, you know, I'm always on the lookout for that kind of thing. And I've not had that kind of stuff happen to me. So I'm just not as aware of it or hyper aware of it. And, you know, Shannon just had those frank conversations of, hey, can we do this? Are you okay with this happening? And, you know, I'm always a supporter of that. I was in Misjudged for the Society of Domestic Peace and, you know, raise a lot of money for that. And mm-hmm. I want to make sure that, and I've got 2 daughters and I want to make sure they have a safe world to grow up in. So having somebody who's been in that world and is okay talking to me about all that stuff is fantastic.
It's nice that you listen too, and you know, like there's a lot of people that wouldn't. And I think that's the thing in the bar scene is women always have to be careful. And so when these little things go a long way, and it's really nice for people to feel safe, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I noticed from the very first time I came in here is it is like a safe space for, you know, for the creative and the weird and the whatever you are, like the fun. The fun. I mean, I'm creative and I'm weird. And, but like, even though there's like the LGBTQ's like little flag, and you just know that you're like, okay, this is somewhere I can be myself and no one's going to give me a hard time for it.
And I will be in a place where there are other people who are also afraid to be themselves in other spaces, but they're not afraid here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something really remarkable about that because you sense a greater humanity. It's like, this is going to sound really silly, but it's Christmas time, right? It's that it's that Grinch moment where the heart gets bigger. You feel like your heart is bigger, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, suddenly this is a great thing that I'm involved with, too.
Yeah. And that's what's like, it's really cool about this place. It's like punk, too. It's like you see people really being fully themselves. And, you know, even you've got bands that only want to play here because of that. It has that vibe. It doesn't try to be pretentious or fancy. We're just like, it's authentic and it's here. It's real. It's, you know, matches the wood. It's natural.
Did you know that authentic, according to Merriam-Webster, is the one word that everybody looked up the most this year?
Ah.
Authentic.
Really?
Authentic. There you go.
Here we are. Yeah. Maybe we'll show up.
That's disturbing to me.
Me too. That's what I thought.
It's great, but like that's disturbing for sure.
You had a hard time with that concept.
Yeah.
AI is moving in. People don't know anymore.
Well, yeah, maybe that's where it's coming from, eh?
Yeah.
So, Dave, you made some comment a few minutes ago about it being a moral business. I really like that both of you are very ethical in your approach to things. Shannon, let's start with your circular economy philosophy.
So that's I didn't realize that I was kind of part of the circular economy world until I saw it through, actually, Community Futures. They were advertising Project Zero, which is not a program, but kind of an advocacy for businesses that are circular economy. And I've been doing it by accident. It just was my beliefs that, you know, I should be doing things as sustainable as possible. So to break it down, a circular economy is pretty much the opposite of a linear economy where, you know, you buy something and you manufacture it and you sell it and it gets thrown out, you know, and it just goes, it gets made and it's tossed.
Especially the single use.
Yeah, single use.
Crazy.
Totally. It's just like, you know, okay, it's convenient and then it's gone and then it's wasted, you know, versus circular economy. You're trying to reuse. Like Annan is the clothing company that reuses wool. It buys wool that would otherwise be thrown into landfills. They dye it, make it up, and they sell it again. I'm actually wearing it right now. And I do the same thing, but with mugs, with spoons, with cups, with encouraging people to bring their own mug. A big part of that one is trying to get people back into the mindset after COVID that you should use your mug. And not just with me, use it everywhere. You know, like we have it. We don't have to be creating all these cups, you know. As much as like compostable cups go, they're still often not composted properly. Or even the other ones with the wax in them, they can't be recycled. They can't be reused. And all those trees or bamboo or whatever it is has to still be cut and used. And we have everything already. It's so easy. Yeah, you know, let's do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave, you've been following a similar philosophy since you opened in 2017, offering returnable growlers. You have you're selling mugs here. Your business is also almost entirely run by solar panel, which makes me kind of giddy.
Yeah.
I mean, that started way back when I had opened up my ski shop, and that was my big thing with the ski shop was it's such a wasteful industry in general, skiing and snowboarding, and everybody upgrades their equipment every year, or lots of people do, and they throw out skis, and it's just, and a lot of manufacturers don't make the best quality skis or boards because they know people are going to buy them next year anyways, right? So they make them to last a year. So I dealt with a lot of the skis that were made in North America, you know, in Colorado, in Salt Lake City, in Utah, and made sure that it was more environmentally friendly factories and practices were taken. And same with the clothing brands made from recycled goods. We had three clothing brands that were all made from a 100% recycled product. That was something that was never seen, certainly in the Valley, but just in Canada in general. I was a lot of their first suppliers. And so that's just always been a business philosophy of mine, is just making sure that we do the best for the environment and making sure we don't have a huge amount of waste. So that was easy to carry forward with the brewery because, like I said before, our byproduct is still a useful product to animals. And, you know, we've had people buy our spent grain to cook into dog biscuits and, you know, just mix it with some eggs and make them bake them for a little bit. And they're actually really healthy dog biscuits still. So, you know, we just get the flavor from the malt, right? But the malt still has all the vitamins and minerals in it.
It's so good for you.
The grain is so good for you. Man. So, and it's fantastic to, you know, be able to have that as your waste product. This is what we do. And certainly as we progress as a brewery, there's a lot of things that we can do. I mean, we are one of the only solar powered breweries in North America.
Wow.
Which is super cool. And there's a lot of breweries that are starting to do things like carbon capturing from creating their beer and recycling their carbon. So it's, those are goals in the future that I'd love to be able to get a part of or be able to achieve. So
that would be really cool.
And the way you heat the place too, like a lot of the heating for the building comes from the process of making beer or your fireplace that is with pellets, right? You know, you're not just forcing gas and turning all the switches on, like you're heating the place and like energizing the place in pretty cool methods.
Yeah.
I love that in the morning when I come in and then, you know, there's a fireplace heating up the whole cafe, the brewery, and it's different, you know, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm. It is lovely. So if people want to come and see this partnership for themselves, what are your business hours?
Well, close Monday, Tuesday at the moment. All our hours will be on Google. So this airs and is different. Feel free to check there. But at the moment, I'm open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 8 till 3. And then Saturday, Sunday from 9 to 4. And then the brewery opens at...
Yeah, the brewery's open 7 days a week. 2 till 9 or 10 most nights, and then on Monday we're open 3 till 8, and then Sundays we're open 2 till 8.
It's a lovely moment to come in here and hang out with other people.
It was a really neat thing when we first started up. Was sometimes a couple would come in here, and one of the partners would get coffee, and the other partner would get a beer, and it's just like that's exactly what.
Yeah,
this was about, you know, really it was like just that marriage and making sure you have more options for people. And, you know, sometimes you feel like a coffee and sometimes whoever you're with feels like a beer. And to be able to offer that in one place is fantastic. So
there's actually a big group that came in on Sunday, and a few of them are my friends, but some are women that are expecting kids. So everyone else was drinking, but they were having their chai lattes. And I gave them a nice big cup, so it kind of looked like they blended in. And it was nice to see. I was like, oh, this must be really refreshing for pregnant women or for people that don't drink, because they can also be part of the scene and not feel left out too much.
Well, and a lot of people bring their kids here. They come in and they have coffee. The kids have a snack. There's dogs hanging
Yeah, and I mean, it's especially after COVID, I've noticed such an uptake in non-alcoholic beer and people wanting to partake in the brewery atmosphere but not partake in the alcohol consumption. And certainly we want to promote that. We want to make sure that people have those options. We want to make sure that you as a customer feel that it's more important for you to show up and participate in whatever's going on at the brewery or coffee shop than it is for you to consume alcohol. You know, we want your presence, and that's a big thing. We want to make sure that, because everybody adds something. Everybody genuinely has a presence, and they can tell stories to other people or welcome, you know, tourists or whatever, and it's such a wonderful thing. So we want to make sure that you're here.
Yeah, what a nice welcome. Shannon, I think I heard you were still looking for baristas.
Yes,
it'd be a great place to work.
Yeah, definitely, especially if there's experienced baristas out there who want to come and be part of the scene. It's really fun. It's a pretty good time. And like, there's going to be some really interesting stuff this summer too, with us being here, but also participating at festivals. So when you work at a festival, you usually get your ticket for free. And you get to like jam out while making some money. So it's pretty cool. And that's like that's the world we're diving into a bit more. We got a pretty strong female team right now. So, you know, diversity is always welcome, but it is nice to be with all the gals and laughing and having a good time. So
it's good. Dave and Shannon, what you've done this fall brings me such hope for our community and for the larger world. I want to encourage other businesses everywhere to embrace this outside the box cooperative thinking. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
And that's it for the cookie jar this week. My guests today were Dave Harris, owner of the BB Brewery, and Shannon West, owner of the Stellar J Coffee Cart, with Symbiotic Businesses in Smithers. The Cookie Jar is produced by Christine Bruce, with music by Elijah Larson, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. What did all this have to do with you? I'm glad you asked. Build community by supporting these and similar businesses. If you're a business owner anywhere on the planet and see an opportunity to work cooperatively with other businesses, go for it. And if you do it right, you'll have very happy customers. For more on the BB Brewery, visit BulkleyValleyBrewery.com. Stellar J Coffee Cart is on both Facebook and Instagram at Stellar J Coffee. And if you want to know what's happening with us each week, find us on Facebook at The Cookie Jar on CICK. Jump.